Adam Morrison here. When it comes to top-tier contracting, my go-to choice is McGilvery Environmental. They're not just any contractor. They're the best in Spokane and North Idaho. With years of experience, they handle it all. New construction, meticulous repairs, and asphalt overlays. From start to finish, they ensure your project is completed with the highest quality end results. And here's the scoop for this year. McGilvery Environmental has expanded its services to include asphalt paving. That means top-notch commercial parking lots, residential driveways, and road construction. So, ready to kickstart your project? Reach out to Kip at McGilvery Environmental by calling 208-556-6384 for your free estimate. Don't forget to mention my name, Adam from the Perimeter, and experience the difference that McGilvery Environmental brings to the table. Again, that's 208-556-6384, McGilvery Environmental. My number one choice for all my contracting needs.
HDG Architecture is proud to be a sponsor of The Perimeter with Adam Morrison. There is another podcast that you all should be listening to, and it's called If Not Now, When? This podcast, which Josh Hsiang of HDG Architecture hosts, has a clear mission to ignite positive change within the Spokane community. On the podcast, Josh brings together diverse individuals from city officials, business owners, journalists, influencers, and big thinkers to have meaningful conversations about what we can do to help transform downtown Spokane into an even more vibrant and robust community. By talking to these movers and shakers, the podcast aims to inspire and empower its listeners by actively shaping their city's future. You can find the If Not Now, When podcast wherever you are listening to The Perimeter at, or you can find it in the description of this episode.
Welcome to The Perimeter, Season 3, Episode 2, presented by McGilvery Environmental. I'm Adam Morrison with Brendan, the producer. Interesting topics today. I know it's early before the season starts, so we're going to get into some NBA stuff since the NBA season starting tonight, talk about Zags in the NBA, then we're going to go a little bit over the schedule and how I think that's going to play out into this, you know, early season. I think it's a good schedule. I think it's balanced. The Maui Invitational is going to be played in Honolulu. It's going to be fantastic. There's that weird game in February in Lexington.
Lexington, yeah.
Which is cool too. So, but it's going to be a little bit shorter episode because the season hasn't started yet. So there's not much to talk about.
Yeah,
we covered a lot on the first episode, which is always good. But you know, with the NBA season starting, we have 10 active players on rosters from Gonzaga in the NBA right now, which is fantastic considering, you know, we're not a Power Five conference, all that stuff. Obviously, we're a Power Five brand or, mm-hmm. or program, but like considering that, you know, these guys are sticking around making, you know, making teams, making rosters is fantastic. I'm really excited for Chet Holmgren's rookie year. I know last year was his first year, but obviously got hurt and had mm-hmm. surgery before. Looks like he's put on some weight, and that's not trying to be funny, but like he looks like 15 pounds more. And I know that's not a lot for Chet's body, but it is. You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah,
you
totally,
just look
yeah.
at his face and stuff. And I know people always give him a hard time about that. I'm not doing that, but it's like, oh man, he's bulked up. And in basketball, you don't have to be, you know, bulky in the sense that it's going to hurt your performance. You have to be wiry strong. And I think he looks wiry strong. Mm-hmm. Had a fantastic preseason game against that the Victor Wembanyama kid. You know, that kid's going to, you know, transform the league. But if you looked at Chet's numbers, he had like 20 and 10 or something like that in that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think he's going to be a great piece on that Oklahoma City team. That's with, you know, the SGA's Childress. I always mess his name. Gildas Alexander, the point guard. That's fantastic. Young player, the Canadian kid. That's, you know, going to be a superstar, I think, in the NBA. And then they got the Australian wing kid that's good. I think he's going to be a perfect third option, which I think is a fantastic role to jump into as a young player, kind of learn the ropes. Obviously, we know his skill set, he can stretch the floor, make shots, but it's just good to see him healthy and out there. And, you know, I think he's going to have a wonderful career. But I think this year is great because he's on an ascending team that's trying to win. in a smaller market, which I think helps sometimes. So the pressure of performing is not as bright, even though there is some. And then, like I said, he's got a bona fide superstar as a guard, and then, you know, established wing player. So he doesn't have to be like the guy right away. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, I'm really excited to check out Chet. Julian Strother, obviously the other guy from last year, last year's team with Drew Timmy, but Julian got drafted in the lottery, was a great landing spot. Denver, obviously, they just won the championship. They lost one of their wings in the Bruce Brown kid, so I think there's going to be an opportunity for him to be a off-the-bench wing. And, you know, their injuries happen all the time, but I think he's had a good preseason as well. Couldn't have asked for a better spot to land to Jamal Murray up front. And then Jokic, obviously, it's a space-the-floor team, and that's what he does, and he's a good defender. So I think, you know, Chet and Julian especially, of the recent guys, have landed in the best spots. Obviously, Jalen's got to have a big year this year with the Orlando Magics. Kind of had some injury issues, had some good games, but you got to do it for a long stretch to get that second big contract. So I think this is a big-time year for him. I think he has all the makings to be a solidified NBA point guard. He's just got to stay healthy. It's going to be a big year for him as well, too, from a contract standpoint and a personal standpoint. Obviously, BC with... I think he did his Achilles last year in the playoffs, too. It was terrible. I was watching the game, too.
I think he's still out.
Yeah, he's going to be out. Which, I got to make sure I say this the right way, but people come back from Achilles much better than it used to be. It's like ACL. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be like almost, you know, a death sentence, quote unquote.
Oh, yeah.
Once you had that injury, you were like, the only thing I worry about with BC, his game is so much predicated on his ability to jump. I hope he comes back and is right. Because he was lining himself up to be, you know, a 15-year type NBA guy, pick and dive guy.
Yeah.
But he's had great seasons with Memphis. It's a perfect spot for him, too, with Ja Morant, where he can just pick and dive. He was in the doghouse, I think, last year, too. There was a stretch where he wasn't playing at all, like getting DNPs, and then he got another opportunity and made the most of it. So that injury was terrible, but he's had a great NBA career so far. Fingers crossed that he's going to continue. Obviously, Z-Bo, Zach Collins, I think he just re-signed with the Spurs. I think he just popped up on my news feed. I think it was 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats to him. Another great organization. It's going to be great for him to play with Wembanyama. Obviously, Greg Popovich is a great coach, great organization, great landing spot. Rui with the Lakers, that was a blessing in disguise for him to get out of Washington. Not that he wasn't playing well, not that it's a bad organization, but I think getting into that market, and I'm talking dollars and cents, getting to that market as a Japanese player is like unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the Asian market in LA.
Yeah.
And so obviously he's a good player, but that just is like, holy smokes, like the money you can make off the floor and then the value you bring to them, bringing in another market, even though you're already the Lakers, it's a massive brand, but any more you can bring to them is obviously a positive. Played fantastic in the playoffs, earned another contract. So I think that was a great landing spot. I think he's perfect on like a team like that where he can be like the third, fourth, fifth option and still be, you know, valuable, but he doesn't have to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy for him. Corey's played well. Washington, this is a big year for him. I think it's third year, right?
Third year, yeah.
Yes, third year.
Yeah.
So he's played well so far. I've watched him a handful of times. Fits in, can shoot it, space the floor. It'll be interesting to see how good Washington is losing Bradley Beal this year to the Suns. It feels like a rebuild. So those issues are tough to play on those type of teams sometimes because it's every man for himself. And it can get into selfish basketball more so than the NBA already is. Mm-hmm. You know, then you got Andrew Nembhard, who's fantastic with the Pacers last year. What was the thing that he had? The largest guaranteed contract for a second round pick.
Yeah, that's what it,
which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And obviously hearing that and they liked him so much, and you know, obviously we got his brother Ryan this year, so it's going to be cool to watch a Nembhard again, because I loved Andrew's game and he really grew on me as a player.
Mm-hmm.
For the 2 years that I was here, he's just so solid and had a good and you know, season last year, and you know, hopefully he can have another good one. But like I said, it's a pretty cool thing that he got the largest guaranteed contract, a second round pick. Like, usually that obviously never happens.
Yeah, I think it came off like a really good summer camp. Yeah. Like, and they paid him, like, they wanted to keep him on the roster. So,
well, he's a perfect, and this is not a knock, but he's like a perfect backup point guard. Mm-hmm. And then if you get in a bind, he can start a stretch of games for you and you can still win.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, he's smart. He's big enough to defend multiple positions on the perimeter. Shoots it good enough, obviously. Super solid in the pick and roll game. He's still effective if he's not. It's not just predicated on making shots, and that's what you want your point guard, and especially your backup point guard, if you have a good bench to come in and run your second unit, mm-hmm. and then give your main guy, you know, a break, but you still have thrust towards the basket and still have a scoring punch. That's like Andrew's perfect.
Yeah.
So I think, how do I say this the right way? But like, guys like that can last like 12, 15 years because they don't wear and tear on their body,
mm-hmm.
and then they're like always valuable to mm-hmm. every type of system. Every team's like, oh, you can come off a pick and roll, make the right decision, and then, you know, you're really good defensively, you can make an open jump shot, like, and you'll play like 15-25 minutes a night. That's pretty good, and we'll mm-hmm. pay you $4 million a year, $10 million, you know. Then if he obviously goes up, but like, that's a job you can have for 15 years. So you know, I'm curious to see how well he has a second year, because he had a good first year obviously with the Pacers. Kelly still in the league. Kelly's fantastic.
It's weird that he's like the old man in the league.
I know. It's crazy. But he's another guy that has a skill set that, you know, will always stick.
Mm-hmm.
Space the floor, can make jump shots, big, smart, can score in bunches. Yeah, he's had a great career. I mean, he's going to sneak in on another contract too, which is awesome for him.
Yeah.
But like, he's going to have like three like big ones. So he's on the Jazz now, right?
Jazz, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, he had a good year last year. From the few games I watched, they actually were better. I think everybody thought they were trying to tank, and then for a while they were, you know, around 500, which was mm-hmm. a pretty good season. He had a good year. Domas, obviously the Kings, fantastic year last year. They had that playoff run. He was my favorite player. I've said that on many episodes to cover.
Yeah.
I just love his game. It's a little bit unorthodox, can score it, left-handed. I just mm-hmm. love his toughness. Smart, and then he's such like a nice, just chill dude.
Yeah,
he's just a.
It's cool to see him like succeed in the league. Mm-hmm. Like, to be, was he an all-star last year, or was he?
Yeah, he was an all-star last year. Yeah, he's had a fantastic career, and like, you know, one of the better ones for NBA players from Gonzaga. Obviously, John's gonna have the all-timer, but like,
right,
you know, the modern one. So, you know, really happy for him to be successful. He was just such a fun kid to cut, because he like just wanted to kick people's ass. But then off the court, he was so quiet, hardly talked. He was like a restaurant foodie, so he'd always go to Milford's. The story was he'd always go to Milford's, and they would serve him wine when he wasn't 21. But he was like
European, like, yeah, so right?
Exactly. European, yeah. Like. Well, we've had this since I was 16, exactly. And it wasn't like a binge drinking situation. It was just like, oh, I want to pair it with my, you know, my red wine with my steak or whatever. You
absolutely,
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like, that was always curious to me, because I'm like, man, you're such a different guy off the court. But I've played with guys like that too. And but yeah, I really like him on the Kings. I think that was a good move to getting out of Indiana. I think it was getting sour. But I think the Kings are like that up and coming team in the West. Last year they gave the Warriors a lot of problems. Steph like 50, he had like 50 in that game 7 or whatever to win.
Yeah.
But I think it's perfect. He's got De'Aaron Fox on that, and then they got a bunch of good pieces around, and then Mike Brown's a great head coach, so I think it's a perfect landing spot. We got to mention Drew getting cut by Milwaukee. That didn't surprise me. That was a tough roster to make.
Totally.
I think he's going to get another 2 or 3 cracks at it, so he'll probably play in the G League. I'm just assuming.
He signed a 2-way contract, so I would assume he would.
Yeah, he just go play in the G League, and there's nothing wrong with that, and you know, show that you can play in the league. You know what I mean? So he'll get, I think, 2 or 3 more like legitimate cracks at it, whether it be this year, next year, going to a camp, summer league, all those things. I think this is the biggest thing for him, and this is not, you know, hot take. The people that follow, he's got to be able to prove that he can shoot a, you know, stretch jump shot, and then rim protection is a big thing in the NBA at you know, on your backside of your defense. But, you know, obviously a wonderful career, and it's not the end of the world. It's just the beginning for him. So hopefully he can, like I said, have a good G League season, maybe get a call up, but he's going to get two or three more cracks.
Yeah,
you know, at it, where somebody's going to bring him into camp, be like, hey, you can make our third big spot, you know, or something like that, make our third power forward. Like, that's a real thing, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's not the end for him, and you know, guys get cut all the time. It's just how it works.
The Perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
We love our house, but lately we've been feeling a little cramped.
So we talked to ICCU about a new home loan. The process was super quick, and we got a really great rate.
We start house hunting tomorrow.
Preferably something with a bigger garage.
A question about all these former Gonzaga players in the NBA, like, what does that speak to that Gonzaga is having all these players find success in the NBA? Like, is it a good recruiting tool? Yeah. Is it to speak for how well the programs ran? Like,
I think it's a combination of, you know, everything you said. Like, it's a great recruiting tool because it's a fight against that. Well, you're not a big university and you're not a football school, so you're playing in the West Coast Conference. You know, like, that's a real thing that some recruits will say, and it's a legitimate knock. Mm-hmm. Not a knock, but it's just a concern. Like, if you're going to get like a Chet Holmgren or a Jalen Suggs, and there was no NBA success before that for guys making it to the league at their position, they wouldn't have came here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's definitely helps that. It also is a testament to the program in how they run, like, offensively, how they play. So guys can fit into an NBA system right away. They play space the floor. I call it wave action. That's what a lot of people call it. Dribble drive, hand off, high ball screen. A lot of people run that in the league. So, like, when a guy gets the NBA, it's easier to assimilate real, you know, quickly and make a roster. You know, and then I think it's just a testament to the type of kids we recruit. Like, NBA teams know if you're, like, have a chance most of the time, to be a leaguer when you're probably, like, in high school. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're, like, on the big AU circuits, and then, oh, you know, like, I guarantee, like, a lot of somebody saw Chet Holmgren at 16 from whatever team's like, all right, this kid's probably going to be in the NBA in about 3 years. So it's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
You know, so we're getting those type of kids that are like, all right, you have a legitimate chance to be an NBA player. Mm-hmm. You have that athletic body. You know, you have the genetic tools. Now let's see, you know, if you can make it. And then obviously where you go to college helps, you know, like, if the system and you have a good year and all that stuff. So I think it's obviously a great testament to how good the university and the, you know, the program has grown.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also those guys that put in a lot of the work.
Totally, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, look at, like, a guy like Brandon Clark. Like, it's crazy. Like, he was at San Jose State. Like, nobody recruited him. And then he gets a transfer to Gonzaga. And then, like, all of a sudden, it's like, boom, he's, like, lottery pick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that has to do with where you land, too, though. You know, style of play. Like, he was, I think they were playing him on the perimeter, like a 3-4 at San Jose State. He's like, no, he's like a pick and dive guy, and then throw it to him on the block and just let him jump as high as he can and put it off the glass. That's all he does.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock, but, like, that's that's what he does. He's obviously more skilled than that, but, like, it's kind of the essence of his game. Mm-hmm. Set a screen, dive your ass off every time, catch it, and jump as high as you can and make a jump hook.
Yeah.
And nobody can stop it. Right. You know, but he's just athletically gifted like that.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
It was funny when I was putting this list together, he came up and I was like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot about Brandon Clark. Like,
he was fun to cover too, because he obviously played really hard, but, like, his backside defensive stuff was just so crazy because he could switch everything, and then, like, the jumping and not fouling and chesting guys.
Yeah.
And you look at him, you're like, man, he's only like 6'5". You know, like, guys are like, I can jump over this guy. And then he's like, whack, you know, like, oh, crap. But, yeah, so those are, you know, the guys in the league. And we're going to be rooting for him and watching him. So a couple like I said, there's a couple guys that are going to have big years if they want to get that second contract, and that's just the way the league works. And you know, most of them, I think, are going to get a fair opportunity for that. And that's the first battle that you have to fight is, you know, a chance to log significant minutes and play stretches and be on winning teams and winning cultures. That helps. And I think, you know, most of those guys have that opportunity. So I'm excited to watch. And like I said, normally it's all about Zags, and this is about Zags, but we're talking a little bit NBA because, you know, our first game's what, November 3rd?
November 3rd.
It's the mighty Lewis and Clark. What's their?
I
have no idea either. I know one of the kids plays for them. I know him, Sam Stockton, so that'll be fun. John's son, so that'll be fun to watch him.
Oh, fun, yeah.
Yeah, watch him play. But then, you know, we get started with Yale on November 10th, and I think that's going to be kind of a weird opener because Yale was, I think, 22 and like 10 last year, like a good team.
They were good. They got bounced out at the Ivy League
conference tournament.
They only lost by like 6 points, I think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they could have been easily in the tournament.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is an interesting start to. We don't have that one game. We usually have that one game. Last year it was, you know, Michigan State, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I think the balance of when you're going to a Maui, which we are, I think Fiwi kind of likes to get your guys rolling before, and we did that too, and that's not a new thing. Like when we went to Maui, played Idaho and then somebody else, and no disrespect to Idaho, but they weren't very good, and we barely, I think we only won, but like
you want to probably have good warm-up games to that tournament, right?
Yeah, because you're going to go through a gauntlet. You're going to play hopefully three high level games in a row, right? And ours is Purdue, Syracuse, Tennessee on the backside, and then if we win, we're probably going to play Kansas or UCLA.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it's like, holy smokes. We're on the opposite side of the Chaminade, which I like, cuz I nothing against them, but if you're going to go all the way over there, I don't want to play that game. I want to play, you know, a Division I opponent and
totally.
You know, things that help you out for seeding and stuff. And so yeah, I think the schedule early is fair and but it's going to be interesting to see, just because like I talked about in episode 1, there's so many new faces, and we have so many, not unproven guys, but unproven in our system.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, Graham EK is fantastic at Wyoming, but he hadn't played in a year. Okay? And then Ryan Nemhard was fantastic at Creighton, but that's Creighton. It's not Gonzaga. Creighton's great, but it's, you know, it's just a different system.
Yeah.
You know, and then Steele, what's his last name?
Venters,
yeah. Steele Venters. Fantastic at Eastern, had a great career, Big Sky Player of the Year. It's not Eastern. It's not the Big Sky. Nothing against that. You know, you're going to play a high level, a better level of competition, and the pressure is going to be a little bit brighter, and there's more expectations to make, you know, NCAA tournament runs. So, you know, things like that are going to be, and then, you know, Dusty Stromer is obviously a freshman, and then we got the two Eastern European kids. What are they going to give us? What's the Korean kid going to give us? You know, and I think Anton's going to have a great season. I hope he does. He has a chance to be an NBA player. You know, we just talked about a bunch of NBA players. I think he fits that mold where he can play multiple positions and kind of just be your off-the-bench wing, perimeter, guard-every-guy spot if he can make an open three and you know, things like that. But he's got to obviously have a good season. I think he'll be great, but it's curious. It really is.
Looking at the roster, like I've doing research, I've seen a ton of like who, like starting five, who's the starting five, and I feel like it's really not it's a hard conversation to have right now, and I think it's kind of pointless because I think there's a couple of guys that we know are going to be starting, but like I think it's like,
well, I'll want me to give you my,
yeah, I would love to hear your top, so your starting five.
Ryan Nemhard, Nolan Hickman for sure.
Yeah.
I think Graham EK, on the backside, but Braden Huff has had such a good camp, and he looks good in the craziness in the kennel, and I've heard good things, and he's a lefty, and he's big, and he can shoot. The biggest one for me, obviously Anton's a guaranteed starter, is the wing spot, like I said, is Dusty Stromer, Steele Venters. I think you give it to Steele just because he's a veteran, but Dusty's a high-level recruit, and you know, high level player. So like, I think that's the spot that's going to be most fluid if one's not playing great or not. Or you could play small and, you know, try one of the European kids, the Krajinovic kid, Krajinovic, I think is how you say it. Luka Krajinovic, I think.
It sounds right.
I know. It's hard, and I don't want to butcher, and yeah. It's not me trying to be a jerk about it, but some of them are hard to get the pronunciation. But my point is, like, he's a wing player. You could play really super small mm-hmm. with Nolan Hickman and Ryan Nemhard and him in the backcourt. Or, you know, Dusty fits that as well, where you're kind of like he's a more of like a 2-3, but he can play the one a little bit, I think. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's interesting. It's really curious because the last 4 years we had the number one. Three for sure. Four was freshman year, you know, was just his freshman year. But, like, Drew Timmy's the all-time leading scorer. That's gone away.
Yeah.
And he was a throw it to him back down, and to go score it. But, like, it's totally different now. Mm-hmm. So I'm just really curious to see how it all plays out.
You think Ben Gregg is just six man off the bench kind of
good question, man. Yeah, I think he earned a great role last year with how he played and his spirit off the bench.
Yeah.
You know, remember early, I think that was that Purdue game when we were getting killed. Mm. They went to him instead of Efton, and he kind of gave us a little bit of spark, and then it kind of grew from there. Mm-hmm. And he earned that. So, yeah, I think he is Anton's backup, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sixth man at Gonzaga, you end up playing 22 to 30 minutes,
yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. consistently. So it's not a bad role. You know what I'm saying? It's not a bad role to have.
Totally. So,
yeah, it's the scoring aspect of who's going to put the ball in the basket for me. Obviously, we've been top five at efficiency in the last decade. Mm-hmm. When I say that, I'm not saying as a style, it's just who. Mm. Somebody's going to do it. It's just who's going to be the leading scorer, who's going to be the second leading scorer, how many points is the leading scorer going to score? You know, that sounds funny, but, like, is it 16 and there's a bunch of guys averaging 9 to 12, or is it going to be somebody's going to have a great year and average 18 and then 16 and then one other guy? You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. that's a real thing to ponder and think about. But we are definitely really deep.
When you look at this roster, like, all these guys are not going to get much playing time.
No.
And that's...
You can't.
Yeah, and that's...
It's impossible. Yeah. Somebody's going to get left out in the cold, man, and sometimes it's not even like a talent thing. It's just a numbers game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth. That happens in a lot of sports. That happens at the NBA level a lot, where guys are good and they just get in either the wrong spot or it's just literally a numbers thing, man. It's like, I can't split the time up between three guys. I'm just going to give it to two because then you feel like you can get in a rhythm and all those things. So,
yeah,
a lot of interesting questions. the rankings came out. So we're in the AP, we're 11th, and the coaches poll, we're 12th. I put a little bit of stock into preseason rankings. I mean, they are necessary. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good for, like, the buildup of games and hype. I think it's good to, you know, for your tournament resume, I guess, if you can say, well, we beat six ranked teams this year or whatever, you know what I'm saying? I think that stuff kind of matters especially if you're, you know, a bubble team or whatever, or you're fighting for one seed,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you got similar numbers to somebody. But I'm a little bit surprised that it's this high. I know it's kind of some of these go off of, you know, success from the years before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we got a little bit of kiss on that. Doesn't mean I don't think we're great, but it's just so many new players. I'm like, are we the 12th ranked 11th team? You know what I'm saying? We right. don't even know.
No, we don't know. Yeah.
So that part was a little bit of a head scratcher. But again, it's kind of a formality that you kind of have to go through. And then it's, you know, thankfully it's not like college football where, like, if you don't start in like the top eight, it's going to be a tough road to get there. You know what I mean? With their playoff system. So,
we have a great opportunity to face the number three team and the number one team in the Maui Invitational. Yeah. So, like, I mean,
it's a great field.
It really is. And, like, I think if we can get through that, I mean, one of those games, then, I mean, I think that will help our rankings. But when you say, like, you don't know where that scoring's come from, it's going to be very, very, very interesting. It's those first three games where we're playing, you know, Yale and Eastern Oregon and Lewis and Clark, it's going to be to go in and play Purdue is going to be.
I'm really curious to see how we stylistically how we defend them this year, and we'll talk about it when the game gets gets closer. But we got absolutely manhandled by Zach Edey last year, and I don't think it was not a lack of effort or the scheme was wrong. It was just he was so big and so tall, and I think once you've seen it one time, it's probably easier to prepare for.
Right.
I think it was like you don't unless you see it, you don't really know how bad it is or whatever, and how difficult it is. Yeah. So, I'm really looking forward to that game, and that's a pivotal game. But you know, even on the backside of win or lose, we play Syracuse or Tennessee. Tennessee's 10th and 9th, and respectively in the polls. So like, and Syracuse is always a good team. So like, at least you have that in your back pocket. You know what I'm saying? If that game doesn't work out, but it's going to be an interesting year. Obviously, you know, I think like I said, the schedule's great and. But it's just a lot of questions on the offensive end. Who's going to put the ball in the basket?
Mm-hmm.
But.
I was going to ask. I was going to mention about the poll. It's very cute that Gonzaga and Arizona are ranked.
12 and 11.
Yeah.
Tommy Lloyd's got them rolling down there. They got to have a big year too.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good season last year, but got an early exit bounce. So I think, you know, they're going to have to. Put it together and try to make an NCAA tournament run because that's kind of what they are known for at that university is basketball and they really care about it and they support it big time. But you got to try to get the Final Fours, you know, so
yeah.
It'd be a big year for Tommy. I haven't even looked at their schedule or their roster, who he got in, you know, in the transfer portal and stuff, but I'm sure he did a fantastic job of, it's an easy place to recruit.
Yeah.
Like Tucson's awesome. Like, and that university is like really nice. So he'll get it rolling, but it's a big year for Arizona as far as like NCAA tournament. Like they got to make a deep run, and if Tommy can get them to where they want to be, like it'll establish his own personal deal too down there. You know what I'm saying? So rooting for him.
The Perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Our family is all over the place sometimes, but ICCU helps us keep up with them. We use card control to turn on Olive's debit card when she needs to pay for activities.
And turn it off when she's shopping online.
We make sure Forrest is depositing his lawn mowing checks into his college fund. And we definitely make sure to ask Grandma Ivy where all those Zelle transfers come from. Phew, that's a lot of keeping up. Ready for a break?
And so. Yeah, there's no new news on Gonzaga joining the Big 12. It's still floated out there.
Oh wow,
That came across my deal about a week ago. So I think it might happen. Obviously, as a non-football joiner, and what was curious in the article, they said that the women's side would stay in the WCC, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah,
just. Because, you know, they kind of dominate that conference, and Lisa and Craig Fortier have a good thing going down there. They, you know, great program. I think switching to the Big 12 would be different. But it was just curious because usually all sports follow. That's why I mentioned it was like, well, the women would stay on the WCC side. So I don't know. If it happens, that'll be a whole show I could talk about if they go to the Big 12.
Yeah. I mean, to go to the Big 12, that just makes it seem even more like NCAA is becoming professional sports.
Yeah.
To like, because now you're going to be traveling like a professional athlete.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, we went to Texas last year and played them at Texas in that brand new arena that they built. I mean, the facilities there are insane. The amount of money at that university is insane. I mean, but that's like most of the Big 12. Like all those schools are like. Midwestern, big time money. We care about our sports. There's no pro teams. Go get them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's obviously football driven, but, you know, Big 12 basketball is, I think it was the best conference last year.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And wasn't even close.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really curious if it comes to fruition or gets closer, I'll do a full episode on why I think it's good, why I think it's bad, pros and cons. Behind the scenes on why you would move, because I know there's some weird theories and some people, you know, have talked to me about it, or you just read online and stuff, and it's like, dude, you're way off. And it's not even, it's not a knock. It's like you just, the dollars and cents aspect of it, you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a greed thing either.
Right.
It's you got to float other programs, mm-hmm. you know, and if you don't have football and you have another revenue generating entity, those pay for the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a little teaser, but like some people don't understand that. It's like, well, you got to stay in the WCC. I'm like, I love the WCC. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But the Big 12 makes a lot of money.
Yeah, no, like, it would.
It's just, what do you, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, man. Welcome to the capitalism. I don't know what to say or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you know it's like, the way NCAA sports are going. It's all becoming money-based and money-driven. And that
Have to, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, here's the biggest thing for me. I'll just touch on this point and be done with the topic, is when USC and UCLA made the move to the Big 10, and mm-hmm. it was announced, I think it was last summer, the summer before last,
mm-hmm.
and we just, you know what I'm saying, like 2 years ago or whatever. In the article I read, and don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure I'm right, UCLA said that they were $90 million in debt in the athletic department.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's not like a mismanagement, maybe some mismanagement, probably not. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is like one of the greatest, you know, academic schools on the West Coast, mm-hmm. like hardest to get into, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like UCLA is like one of those schools.
Right.
They're in the second biggest, right? LA is the second biggest media market in the US, probably on the planet next to New York.
Yeah.
Right. And they're $90 million in debt because of the conference they were in.
Yeah.
Now they go to the Big Ten. I think they get a check for whatever the TV deal is, probably $20 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably goes up after that once they establish 5 years after.
Mm-hmm.
No brainer.
Yeah.
Okay, and that. But the point is, like a place like UCLA was $90 million in debt. Who do you think pays for field hockey and swimming and men's golf and men's women's volleyball? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, nothing against those sports. Yeah. Somebody's got to pay for them,
mm-hmm.
and it can't always be donors. So that's just my teaser topic on when people are talking about conference realignment. It's like, are against it or think it's just about greed. It's like, no, dude, you got to pay for these other sports, man.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
if they don't make money, then there are no other sports. It's why Title IX.
100%. Yeah. And Title IX is fantastic, mm-hmm. and it should be around. There should be opportunities,
mm-hmm.
but somebody's got to pay for them.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Gonzaga is a great example. Like, if Gonzaga basketball didn't exist, mm-hmm. the way it is, the other sports wouldn't exist either.
Yeah. And we might be, and be honest, if I'm pretty sure I'm right on this, is I think there was talk in maybe the late 80s, early 90s that switching to D3 and just being like Whitworth.
Oh, wow.
And nothing wrong with that. Whitworth's fantastic university, but it's mm-hmm. just a D3.
Yeah.
It's the same demographics, probably costs about the same.
Mm-hmm.
The academics are great.
Yeah.
Well, let's just play Eastern Oregon and drive a bus instead of flying. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, at the time in the 80s, like, I imagine Gonzaga and Whitworth were probably pretty similar in mm-hmm. size,
yeah.
Yeah, because like Gonzaga is this kind of, they just keep on building over there.
Yeah. Well, that was partly because of, not all of it. And I don't want the academics to get pissed off. But I mean, the growth of the basketball team and the exposure mm-hmm. has helped. It's free advertising. You know what I'm saying? What's the term they always say? The sports is your front porch mm-hmm. of the university, your sports programs.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
Makes total sense. Yeah.
So, yeah. Thank you again to our sponsors, McGilvery Environmental, HDG Architecture, Idaho Central Credit Union, for sponsoring the show. Like I said, we'll be a little more in depth when the season starts. Want to talk about the NBA guys. Get those guys on your radar. People listening, watch them, support them.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to games, wear your Gonzaga stuff. I used to always like that when I was playing, people wearing my jersey. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like Gonzaga
sure.
jerseys and stuff. It's pretty cool.
That is cool.
You know, if you give them a go Zags, they're going to give you one back. So,
absolutely.
But yeah, thanks for listening. And again, thanks for our sponsors.